Hello, boys and girls, and welcome back to Nerd Out Sanctuary. I'm your host, Michael. This is the 11th episode, so we'll see how this goes. Couple updates. There's a little thing going around called COVID-19 or the coronavirus or whatever the fuck. Because of that, the construction project that I was on, you know, working as an inspector, construction inspector on, shut down. So I got laid off. So I don't have a job right now. So, you know, I put in a claim in for unemployment. And bad news is I don't have any money coming in. Good news is I had a lot of money saved up a lot of free time on my hands. So expect more of these. I don't know how long it's going to be shut down for. I mean, when it comes back, they're bringing me back, so I'm going to have a job in the future. I'm just, you know, hopefully it's only like maybe a month or two, maybe just a month. I don't know. We'll see. But, I'm looking for the positives, you know. I have a lot of free time on my hands. I can watch all the shit that I want, play video games all fucking day, be a lazy piece of shit, and just stay inside. That's kind of what needs to happen. If you guys don't need to go out, don't go out, all right? Just stay inside, stay indoors, wash your fucking hands, don't fucking stock up on toilet paper, stop buying all the fucking toilet paper, guys. Just get enough for yourself and whoever else you're living with, and that's it. Don't hoard it, you like a fucking asshole. Jesus Christ. I'm drinking tea this time, guys. I'm drinking tea. Oh, it's not even in the frame. No, well, I mean, do you really need to see me drinking tea? Do you really need... Let me just, like, inch the table over a little bit. I know you're probably zoomed. I'm zoomed in a little bit, but I think it's better to, like, get a closer look at this wonderful, wonderful face. This awesome face you're looking at. If you don't already know, if you're just listening to this on a podcast, this is also a YouTube channel. And if you're watching on YouTube, this is also a podcast. So it's available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and then also here on YouTube or, you know, wherever the fuck. Just watch me. Just watch me and listen to me, okay? Pay attention because I'm saying a bunch of important shit. So, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands. I'm planning on doing more of this, more of these, spending a little bit more time doing this because I don't really have anything else better to do other than maybe watch my nephew because my sister's a nurse practitioner and she's not going to stop working because she's like essential now. So if she needs childcare help, I'm going to be there, obviously. So I might record an episode or two over at her house. We'll see how that goes. But for now, I'm going to be just keep doing it in my apartment. Sorry if like you hear the water. Again, it's someone taking a shower, like, next door, so, yeah, the sound insulation in this building is fucking terrible. I mean, there's a lot of things that are kind of fucking terrible about this apartment, but, I mean, I have my own place, and that's awesome, but, whatever. My fucking toilet paper thing keeps coming apart, too. Like, it keeps coming off. The thing that holds the toilet paper keeps coming off, and it keeps pissing me off, like, while I'm, you know, doing my thing in there, and I'm trying to get the toilet paper, and then fucking yanks off. It's like easily pulls off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if the coronavirus isn't enough, my goddamn toilet paper holder keeps falling off. That's the real issue at hand here, is my toilet paper thing. I think if I fix that, the coronavirus will be cured. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I'm almost positive. Well, I'll get back to you on that, guys. So I don't know if we have a packed episode tonight, I guess. I'm filming this at night, or whenever you're watching it. But, I'm going to be talking on a decent amount of topics here. We got two shows and two movies that I watched recently, and I'm going to be talking to you guys about them. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. I don't have a printer, so I don't have my notes in front of me. This is just a fucking pad, mainly for show. This is mainly just for show. This is just engineering paper. I mean, I have some stuff mentioned on here, but they're also in my notes, so I'm just going to be referring. I'm going to be staring at my computer a lot today because my show notes are on my computer because I haven't printed them out because I don't have a printer, like I said. But anyway, first topic of discussion. I watched a recent HBO It's not really, I don't want to call it an original, but it's a show that's recently got released on HBO, and it's called The Outsider, and it's the first season. And if you're not familiar with The Outsider, it's a Stephen King property. It's a Stephen King novel adaptation. So I don't know if there's a string of novels. I mean, apparently they're going to be doing a season two and more seasons upcoming, so I don't know how that's going to go. I'll talk about that a little bit more later down in my review. I just want to make sure, yeah, okay, we're recording. That would have sucked if I just, you know, was doing this for nothing. I've done that before. But anyway, so yeah, The Outsider, if you're not unfamiliar with it, basically the synopsis of the show is where we start is a child was brutally murdered in a small Georgia town, and the person who did it, or you pretty much see him do it without actually doing the act, but other shit that's surrounding the time frame, it's pretty obvious who did it. But the catch is that same person was like across the state or somewhere 2 hours away at the same time as the murder was happening. So the person who did it was in two places at once. So that's kind of where we start our show. It drives your hooks into you really, really heavily. It's a show that like really grabs you at first. The first couple episodes are incredibly strong, and you get into it right away. So yeah, it's a Stephen King adaption. There's not too many really notable cast members other than a couple. Jason Bateman plays I forget what the character's name is. But yeah, he's in it for a couple episodes in the beginning. And he also directed the first two episodes. And I just gotta say, man, Jason Bateman's kind of the man. He's kind of the dude. Like, he's kind of the man. I know, I'm pretty sure he's directed some episodes on that Ozark show. And I'm thinking about watching that now since I have a lot of time on my hands. I keep hearing amazing things about Ozark. And the more and more I see Jason Bateman, the more I love him. I think he's incredibly great. And he's great in this, and he does a phenomenal job with directing. I mean, like, wow. I mean, that's probably the strongest part of the show is the direction, you know, the stuff that's happening behind the camera, especially with the shots and just the tone of the show, the way it looks, the way it feels. It feels very Finchery, David Finchery. If you're unfamiliar with him, he directed Seven, Fight Club, recently Gone Girl, Mindhunter, that TV Netflix original on Netflix. He has that really dark tone. Like, whenever you're watching his films, like, kind of pay attention a little bit. Even House of Cards, he directed the first two episodes of the first season of House of Cards. I'm pretty sure he's directed other episodes as well, but he's an executive producer on House of Cards. But like, when you're watching his stuff, there's like this like dark tint. It's not like a tint, but it's just like every shot is like, it's darker, you know? It's something, it's either the way you feel about it, or I think it's just kind of like a filter or something, or just the way the lighting is. And the way he, like, frames the camera up, every shot just seems so much darker than everything else that you would see. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you watch a Fincher film and a Wes Anderson film, like, you can definitely tell the difference. Let's just say that. I mean, obviously. I mean, every director has their own, like, type of trademark that you can kind of recognize from, like, a film buff like me. I can point out, like, if I don't know specifically who directed it and I'm watching the film, I can kind of tell who it is if it's someone big, whether it's like Scorsese, Fincher, Wes Anderson, Spielberg, whatever. I can usually kind of tell. But Jason Bateman's the man. He's in it. The main character, the main guy, is played by Ben Mendelsohn. If you don't know who that is, he was recently in Rogue One. He was the villain. He played Krennic, I believe. He was also in that first season of Bloodline. He was in Place Beyond the Pines. He was in Dark Knight. He was in Dark Knight Rises. A fantastic Australian actor. He was I'm pretty sure he's very big in Australia, but he's just kind of coming into prominence here. And this was an amazing performance by him. He steals pretty much every scene he is in. Rightfully so, because he is the main character. He plays Ralph Anderson. Another woman. Her name is Cynthia Erivo? She plays Holly Gibney in the show. She's kind of this private investigator type who's very, I don't want to say she's eccentric, but she's just different. You'll see why in the show. But yeah, she does. She brings it. She adds a lot to the show. There's a little bit of comedy with her character too, which I kind of appreciated. But yeah, I mean, other than those two, I mean, there's really no recognizable names, but there's definitely recognizable faces. You know, those type of actors where you're like, oh, I've seen you and stuff. And they're all really great, and they're all really great in everything. And it's no different here. But yeah, so just talking about like the show in general, it is a dark murder mystery, which is let's just call what it is. It's my thing. I mean, I have a huge thing for dark, mysterious murder drama series. I just love doing it. Like I love watching it. That's why I love Mindhunter so much, and I'm fucking pissed off that it's pretty much canceled. It's delayed indefinitely, but it's pretty much canceled, which is such a fucking shame because that show was sick. That show was amazing. And I'm very disappointed that that's kind of over now. But yeah, so I'm a huge fan of that type of genre of TV. And this fits directly into that. So take my opinion what you will, because it might be a little bit biased because I'm just already predestined to like this show. Plus, it's Stephen King, and I'm a huge It fan. And a lot of times through this show, I kind of got It vibes. So I don't know. I know Stephen King loves to connect his universes with his books to like kind of have a shared universe. I'm really kind of intrigued want to find out if The Outsider's kind of a part of that It, like, supernatural universe. Also, something about the show, there is a supernatural element to it. That might be a little bit of a spoiler, but it's there. So if that's something that intrigues you even more, there you go. I put a little bit of moonshine in this. It's pretty good. But yeah, gotta loosen up a little bit, guys. Gotta loosen up here. I mean, the coronavirus, what up? Fugazi, forget about it. Forget about it. Coronavirus, forget about it. What the fuck am I doing? You're apparently not supposed to really drink alcohol during this time because it lowers your immune system, but as long as I'm not getting hammered. I'm staying in my apartment. I haven't gone anywhere today. I'm such a fucking... I love how this just kind of gives me an excuse to just be a lazy piece of shit. It's kind of hilarious. I think I might take a walk tomorrow, actually. I think I might go just drive over to my mom's just to, like, pick some stuff up and, like, just say hi, but stay my 6 feet away. So just to get out of the apartment, just get outside a little bit, just get some fresh air. Been cooped up here for a bit. But yeah, so yeah, it's a murder mystery. Sprinkle in a little bit of supernatural stuff in there, and yeah, you get a pretty intriguing show. I kind of want to talk about just like the way the show is directed. Like I said, it has that dark tone, sort of Fincher vibe to it. There's a lot of really great, like, shots, like overhead shots or tracking shots. They're not like one take shots, like a 1917 type deal, but like there's a couple of like mini shots that was like, oh man, that's really cool. I love the way you did that. There's this one shot of there's this certain type of where they find some evidence in a barn, and like the camera, it like is like going down the hill towards this barn, like very menacingly, and all these police officers are all like lined up like throughout the road, and they're down by the barn all getting ready to go in there, and like the forensics and all that stuff, and like the camera like zooms down like on the road, and it's like going all the way down to the barn. It was really cool. It was really well done. There's a lot of shots like that that are just make you go like, oh man, that's really cool. There's also a couple of shots where it kind of pulls that, that Hereditary type, like, scare, where it's like, you kind of see something, but you're like, what is that? I mean, it's not as good as Hereditary. Hereditary is, like, on another whole level of just fucking scary. I'm sure I'll eventually talk about that movie. I don't know if I have or not. I don't think I have. That's a topic for another time. I don't want to get fucking sidetracked. But yeah, there's a couple of shots where it's like, it's a very like wide shot, and there's like some little thing that you kind of notice. You're like, oh, that's creepy. And that's really cool. There's also, I will, fair warning, I mean, this show does have a little bit of horror to it. There's a lot of scenes that are actually legitimately scary. So if that's something that either intrigues you or kind of turns you off, that can go either way. Some people love horror, some people don't like it. I mean, that's just kind of, I mean, it's really not incredibly horrifying. It's not like a horror movie. It's just more of a thriller. There's just horror elements to the show that are there. I mean, it's a Stephen King adaptation. You're going to get some horror elements. I mean, Stephen King, come on now. Forget about it. But I mean, that's just kind of par for the course with a Stephen King property. So, yeah. I mean, it's overall, the show was really great, really great. I think my only criticism would be that maybe towards the end of the first season, a couple episodes towards the end kind of drags a little bit, and I kind of felt myself being like, okay, let's get to the end now. Like, let's have something happen here. They've been kind of like leading to stuff, and let's get to whatever you're leading to. Let's go. So that's probably the only thing. Also, a little bit bigger of a criticism. It seems like the show would just be really good for like a limited miniseries of just one season, because it does kind of wrap up, and then there's this weird like at Marvel after the credits scene that basically sets up or teases a season two. And it didn't really make any sense to me. I mean, I can't go into it because it's spoilers and I don't want to spoil anything. But, like, it didn't make too much sense. And I was just like, I kind of rolled my eyes pretty heavily. And I'm kind of afraid that this will turn into pretty much another Bloodline. Fitting, because Ben Mendelsohn's also in Bloodline. But if you don't know what Bloodline was, it was a Netflix original series. It came out a long time ago, but the first season is phenomenal. The first season's spectacular. If you haven't seen Bloodline, the first season, go see it. Watch it. It's on Netflix. It's amazing. But, like, the second season, like, they do something at the very end of the first season, and they tease the second. You're like, okay, I guess I'll come back for it. And the second season happens, and you're like, that wasn't too great. And I haven't even watched the third, and apparently it ended. But, I mean, the first season spectacular. The second season was kind of a flop to me. I didn't like it really at all. And I'm afraid that this is going to be another one of those situations where the first season's phenomenal and the second season, it just kind of blah. Like, it's like, are we going to do the same fucking thing again for another season? Kind of like that. So I'm a little skeptical about the whole continuing the series and having a second season. Hopefully they can prove me wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before, but we'll see. I don't know. What do I know? Whatever. I just thought Bloodline would have been the same, like a really good limited one season run. And it was great. I was like, oh, you could have really tied this up amazingly well for one season. And then you decided to keep going, and look what happened. No one really tuned in, so. Or I got half-assed reviews, pretty much. I mean, I didn't hear anything about the third season. I didn't hear anything about the second season. I just watched it, and I was like, eh, that was kind of lame. So, yeah. If you're into Stephen King, or if you're into murder mysteries and thrillers, definitely check this one out. It's high-quality entertainment. It's really great. I mean, if you're not a huge Stephen King fan, you can probably skip it, but, if you're not into the whole murder mystery drama series, you can probably skip it, but, if you're into that, definitely don't miss this. This is a really good show, and it deserves to be watched. All right, let me crack my back before we get into the next topic. Next topic's very interesting. I watched a new anime series on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. It's not Castlevania. I should keep watching that and review that, but I might just wait. I don't know. I don't know if I'll do that or not, but I decided to watch Beastars, the first season of Beastars. And, you know, I've been trying to get into more anime and watching more of it because it's just, I don't want to, like, shoo away anime that I think I might like. And this one was very interesting. It's very different. It's very different from the other past animes that I've reviewed on this channel. I think I've reviewed a Full Metal Alchemist and One Punch Man. I'll say this right now. Both of those are better than Beastars, but I kind of still enjoyed Beastars. I thought it was actually pretty good. I had a lot of fun watching it. It's only, what, like a 12 episodes, 20 minutes. It was a pretty easy watch. Let's just go over, if you're not unfamiliar with Beastars, I should probably tell you what the fuck it's about. But so it's in a high school populated by anthropomorphic animals, which is meaning that animals that have human bodies, basically. They have human bodies, but like they're all different animals. A humble wolf with anxiety investigates a classmate's sudden murder while contending with his bewildering feelings for a kindly dwarf rabbit. Okay, so basically the main character is a gray wolf, and he suffers from anxiety, self-confidence issues, and all that stuff. And he basically falls for a dwarf rabbit, a small, like, white rabbit. A female white rabbit, obviously. And it's your typical, like, love drama anime series. There's a certain type of name for a show like this. I'm blanking on what exactly the term is. You're anime experts, you can tell me what it is. I sure. But the interesting part about the show is that there's carnivores and there's herbivores, and there's definitely some discrimination and there's definitely some tension between those two, because obviously herbivores get eaten by carnivores and carnivores want to eat meat. And they all have to, like, kind of suppress their cravings to eat herbivores and to eat meat. So there's obviously that obvious tension between the two. So, like, it's kind of not okay for a gray wolf to be with a dwarf rabbit. So there's that. There's a love triangle, stuff like that. It's high school drama with a love triangle, but, like, they're the added element of anthropomorphic animals and the, like, sort of, you could say, racial tensions, or just, you know, I don't know, carnivores and herbivore tensions, which is, it adds this extra element that it makes it a lot more interesting. I'll tell you now, I mean, I definitely prefer your more, I mean, it's not more dramatic, more, I guess, serious type of anime. I mean, I'm a huge Berserk fan. Like, Berserk is, like, my favorite story of all time, which I will inevitably do a Why I Love on the Berserk series. So that's kind of my main entry point to anime. Now going to this is very different. And I'm sure I wouldn't have enjoyed it. I'm not going to enjoy it as much as someone who's been always watching anime, who's just an anime fan watching it. But, I mean, yes, there's that love triangle and high school drama type of stuff that makes me roll my eyes a lot. But there's also some really funny moments, some really interesting character moments. Each character has a lot of layers, and they definitely delve into each character's personalities and stuff about them that is very interesting. I mean, I like how they play every character. Their character, their personality is definitely reflected on what type of species of animal that they are. You know, I thought that was really cool. I mean, being a gray wolf, it's like, oh, you're kind of the lone wolf. You know, you don't have a pack and all that. So it's kind of makes him a very anxious and very self, like, I guess, self-conscious. You know, doesn't have a lot of, you know, self-confidence. When, like, you know, the lion, the tiger, the Bengal tiger does. He's very kind of vigorous and very outspoken and outgoing. The main herbivore is, like, a buck. So he's, like, very, like, good-looking. All the ladies love him. And he's, like, very, he's, like, kind of, he's, like, the pretty boy, basically. He's, like, the lead of, like, the drama class, which I thought was really cool. I like how they do that. All the characters are very, very cool and very interesting. That's kind of what kept me coming back to the show and kept me watching. Another very interesting thing about the show is that it has this 3D CGI animation that the only times I've really watched it, like been exposed to that type of animation, has been with the Berserk films and the 2016 Berserk series. The series 3D CGI animation is fucking terrible. So that's not good already. And I think the first Berserk films 3D CGI animation kind of sucked. But I think the second and third films definitely turn around, definitely make all the action scenes look really sick. So it's like kind of mixed feelings with this. And I think this show nails it with the 3D CGI animation. It looks phenomenal. I think it's some of the best animation that I've seen. It looks really good. I don't think this show's the same if it has the normal 2D animation. I think the CGI 3D animation really adds a lot of life to all the characters, and I think that really helps the show and really also kept me watching. So there's that. That's really cool. So yeah, I mean, I'll definitely check out. I mean, there's going to be another season. I'll probably check it out. I probably won't like check it out like right away. I'm not like, oh, I need a second season right now. Mainly because, I mean, this show's not really, I guess, I mean, it is made for adults. Like, it's a very adult show. There's a lot of moments where you're just like, oh shit, this is really dark. This is kind of fucked up. So this is not a show that's made for kids by any means. This is a very adult show. But it's just like, it's an acquired taste type of show, I feel like, the type of show that it is, with the whole love drama, love triangle type of bullshit, that's kind of here or there, but mainly with the characters, the really interesting animation style, and the interesting concept of the show itself. Definitely keeps you watching, and it's definitely worth checking out. If you're a fan of anime, I would definitely check this one out. If you're not a fan of anime, and you're just kind of like, animation, it looks kind of stupid to me, I guess you could skip this one. I wouldn't start on this one, but I mean, don't think like that. There's a lot of amazing stories that are Japanese anime out there, so Don't close your mind off to it. But I mean, I wouldn't start with this one. I don't think this one's gonna like convert anyone. But I enjoyed it. There is one thing that I kind of felt was kind of really kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, where it's just the whole concept of the herbivores and the carnivores, where the carnivores are mainly having to like hold back who they are, you know. They are carnivores. They eat meat. That's who they are. And all of them are pretty much conditioned to reject who they are. And I think that's kind of a poor message to kind of give out. I don't know. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way. Like, I'm going to be who I want to be, you know? Like, fuck you. Fuck you, whoever thinks that I shouldn't be who I want to be or who I'm meant to be. I think that's kind of, that was kind of lame. I mean, again, I might be reading into it a little bit, but whatever. So yeah, mixed feelings on it, but I mean, I still watched the whole thing and I still enjoyed my time watching it. So yeah, Beastars, season one. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Don't check it out. Whatever the fuck. I don't really give a shit. Oh, boy. Are you guys still here? You guys still here? You enjoying this? I don't know. I do really love recording these. My tea's a little bit lukewarm now. I'll try not to be obnoxious sipping my tea, my moonshine tea, but whatever. So, next topic, we're going to be getting to two more films coming to the end of this podcast, but the first film that I want to talk to you about, I watched relatively recently. I missed in theaters, like I missed every fucking 2019 release, and I guess I'm going to be missing a lot of releases this year with the whole coronavirus bullshit, but anyway, I watched Toy Story 4 recently, and wow. it recently, I know it won Best Animated Feature at the Oscars, and I definitely see why. I want to like get my thoughts of just the whole Toy Story series out. I love it. The original Toy Story is my favorite Disney Pixar movie of all time. I'm pretty sure the first Toy Story and the third one, I think maybe even the second one, is in my top 100 favorite films of all time, which I will inevitably talk about. Just, you know, wait a second. I'll be talking about those when I have, like, literally nothing else to talk about. I'm sure I'm thinking about maybe releasing, like, here's five top movies, and the next one I'll do another five, like, segmenting it out a little bit, so we'll see about that. I'm still kind of brewing on that idea, but I'm pretty sure all three of the Toy Story movies are in there, and I think this one might, over time, if I watch it even more times and brew on it a little bit, I think this one might cheat in there, so I don't know, we'll see. But I'm a huge Toy Story fan. I love all three of them, and spoiler, I kind of love this one. So, if you're unfamiliar with what Toy Story 4 is about, if you, you know, haven't seen it, here's why you probably, I guess, should see it. When a new toy called Forky, yes, that's right, Forky, joins Woody and the gang on a new road trip alongside old and new friends, reveal how big the world can be for a toy. Okay, that's a weird synopsis, but I mean, yeah, there's a new toy, I guess. The child that Andy donates all of his toys to at the end of Toy Story 3. I forget what her name is. I want to say it's Bonnie. I think it's Bonnie. Her name's Bonnie. But she creates a new toy named Forky out of a fork or a spork or something like that. So that was kind of cool. Well, she created a toy and it like comes to life. I thought that was really interesting. And the film overall hit me on an emotional level that I was not ready for, like, at all. I was like, oh, whoa, like, this is really heavy shit. This is kind of really relating to me on a level that I'm just not really ready to handle at this moment of my life. This is kind of, whoa, okay, this is what we're doing? This is, okay. Jesus Christ, Pixar, stop with the fucking tugging at my heartstrings. Jesus Christ. But yeah, the main cast all reprises their role with Tom Hanks and Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear and Woody. All the original voice actors come back and they kill it and they're amazing. Surprisingly, there's some new additions that were pretty awesome. What's her face? Tony Hale voices Forky. Key and Peele are actually in it. Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele both do voices of these stuffed animals in the film, and they're hilarious. They're amazing. I loved them. Christina Hendricks plays Gabby in it, and she's kind of like the more like the villainous type of toy. Surprisingly kind of scary. Like this film can be pretty scary. There's these like ventriloquist dolls that like are come to life that like are with Gabby. There she kind of like uses like them as like their henchmen, and it's actually pretty scary. I was like, oh, okay. They're in this antique store, which is already kind of like ominous, and that when like Woody and Forky and Bo kind of go in there, and that was really, really cool. And I was like, oh, this is cool. So if you're unfamiliar who Christina Hendricks is, she's that chick from Mad Men who's really hot. Surprise, this blew me away that he's in this. The guy who plays the guy like he's just some random dude. The person who plays Duke Kaboom is Keanu fucking Reeves. So yeah, the one does a voice in Toy Story 4, and he was great. I thought that was amazing. I love Keanu Reeves. I mean, who doesn't love Keanu Reeves? But yeah, all the voice acting talent, obviously they bring in. I mean, it's a Disney Pixar movie. They should. So yeah, I mean that was amazing. Having Keanu Reeves in a fucking Pixar movie, that was sick. But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, the animation is amazing. Obviously, it's a Disney Pixar. The animation, you know, the animation's gonna be amazing. I have to bring it up because you can't not bring it up. I mean, it is what it is. Like, you have to praise greatness when it happens, and this was great. But, well, yeah, like, just getting into some of the themes that I was not prepared for was, like, the film dealt where, I guess, it dealt with themes of, you know, rejection, abandonment, I guess, just moving on from people when they, you know, when you get rejected, basically, and also just, like, putting yourself out there, even with your own insecurities and your self, you know, self-confidence issues, and just to, like, you're gonna be special to someone. Like, there's someone out there that you're meant for, and you just have to find them. And if you, you know, don't put yourself out there, you're not gonna find them. And that was, like, heavily, like, connected with me, because I have a lot of self-confidence issues, and, you know, I had a lot of reservations and doubts about doing this and doing this podcast and a lot of things. And sometimes you just kind of have to do it, and you know, people will find you, and hopefully people will find this and enjoy this podcast, well, like I hope you guys are. So I mean, yeah, there was a lot of that, and there is definitely some times where I got like really heavily emotional watching this film, and the man tears obviously came, and I was like, I'm obviously, like, covering them up, even though no one was fucking watching me. Gosh. But, yeah, overall, just really great. The dramatic themes, again, right on the money for a Pixar film. I mean, that's, like, par for the course with all these Pixar films, it seems like. But Toy Story is, like, even more. It's, like, they're on, like, a God-tier level, the Toy Story movies. Like, compared to all the other Pixar movies, I feel like Toy Story is just, they're just up there. They're just on a whole nother level. I mean, The Incredibles is great, but, like, Toy Story is also, they're up there. Also, surprisingly, really hilarious, too. Like, these films are definitely made for both kids and adults. Both, all ages can enjoy this one. Like, this film is just great. I'm just gonna, like, give it to you right now. This film has the movie magic. It's got the Mikey's movie magic. I mean, it just, it does. The whole series, all the Toy Stories movies do, and this is no different. I was kind of reserved because it's the fourth installment in the series, so I was kind of like, will this be as good as people say it is? Will this be as good as the other ones? And yeah, I was surprised. I was like, wow, this is actually really great. I was really surprised by this one, guys. And it hit me on a real deep emotional level. I was like, wow, I was not ready for this one. Yeah, it has the movie magic, and just overall, a fantastic film. And you guys definitely should see it. If you have Disney Plus, watch it. It's amazing. So, yeah. With that, we're going to get into another film another animated film, but it's a Japanese anime film that I recently saw, and it's very old. It's from 1988. It's called Grave of the Fireflies. And I've always wanted to watch this. I've always wanted, because I've heard nothing but fantastic things about Grave of the Fireflies. It's a Studio Ghibli film, which is, if people who haven't aren't familiar, they're kind of like the Japanese form of Disney animated or like Pixar animation. They're really big. Like they're pretty recognizable. I mean, they have a lot of films that are very critically acclaimed, this one included. And yeah, they have a plethora of wonderful films that I haven't seen. You know, they're apparently phenomenal, but I haven't watched on any of them. So this is my first one, and let me tell you right off the bat, I'm going to be watching the other ones, because if this one is any indication, hopefully it's not as depressing as this one. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Yeah, if this is any indication of how great the other ones are, I have to watch them. I have to fucking watch them, like, now. Like, this is amazing. This was great. Like, I was really surprised. So, yeah. Yeah, it was, this is, yeah, I'm trying to read my notes, and, like, you know, I'm trying to scroll down. I just wish I had a physical copy of my show notes. It would be so much easier, and this would probably go a lot better, but, you know, it is what it is. You're gonna get this. I'm new with this. This is, what, my 11th episode, so chill out, guys. Stop making fun of me, all right? Jeez, you know. But, yeah, getting back to the Grave of the Fireflies. Yeah, I watched it. It's available on Hulu, so check it out on Hulu. The thing to really know going in, the film is about two kids. I think one is 16 and one is, I think, around 4 or something like that. They're both very young, and they're struggling. They struggle to survive in Imperial Japan, pretty much during, kind of at the tail end of World War II. So if you know anything about World War II, the United States kind of dropped some nukes on them and kind of bombed the Japanese. So this kind of deals with that and deals with a couple kids who lose their parents, unfortunately, to wartime. And you see what happens, and it's a fair warning going in. This is not a happy film, by any means. It's probably one of the most sad films I have ever seen. But I mean, does it detract from how good of a film it is? No. It's a short film. It's like around an hour and a half long. It's not very long. I think it's even like 1 hour, like an hour and 20 minutes. So it's not very long. So it's not an easy watch by any means, because of, you know, what happens. And, you know, I mean, I will say the very beginning and the very end kind of lets you know that it is okay. It's like, oh, it's okay. You know, this is really depressing, but it's okay type of deal. So yeah, it kind of hinders the rewatchability. You know, it's one of those, like, Requiem for a Dream or 12 Years a Slave type films where it's like, this is an amazing film, and the quality and the people behind it, it should be praised immensely and should be winning all awards it can. But, I mean, I don't really want to watch it again. And this is one of those. It's a very beautiful, like, melancholic sort of deep film that you honestly have to like really reserve a night for it, because you're not gonna be a happy person after it. You're gonna be like put in a state of desolation pretty much after you watch the entirety of the film. But like with that, I mean, you still should watch it and experience it, because it is a really fantastic experience to have. But yeah, if you're a person that does not like really depressing stories, maybe you can stay away from this one and check out other Studio Ghibli films, because I'm pretty sure they're a little bit more happier than this one. But this one is really sad, and like I said, one of the more sadder films that I have ever seen. But with that, I would still say it has Mikey's Movie magic. I think it still is, it has a lot of the magic. I think it's one of the, it's, if someone would come up to me and be like, Grave of the Fireflies is, if not the, like, one of the greatest animated films ever made, I wouldn't argue with you. I'd be like, I don't necessarily disagree. I don't really agree because it's not very rewatchable because it's so goddamn depressing. But, I mean, it's incredibly well animated. The voice acting is amazing. The story's amazing. The characters, the two kids are so, you feel for them so much. And you just kind of want to, like, you honestly just want to take them in and just hug them and, like, tell them it's okay. And you can't. And that's kind of what makes the film so fucked up and so sad, is you as the audience member just have to sit back and watch this happen when so many people could have helped them, but also can't really help them because they're all worrying about themselves in this time of this wartime, and Japan is losing the war, and they pretty much have lost the war at this point, and they're getting bombed constantly, and it's really sad, and, you know, you're gonna be tearing up. It's gonna happen. But, yeah. I mean, same tears as Toy Story 4, but, like, they're, like, you're gonna be tearing up like Toy Story 4, but they're gonna be different tears. They're gonna be more sad, depressing tears, and you're gonna be more just sad that this could happen, and probably did actually happen to some people. So, yeah. Rewatchability, that's the only critique of the film. Other than that, it's phenomenal. Like, just wow. Like, that's all I have to say, is just wow with Grave of the Fireflies. So, it's on Hulu. Recommend checking it out. It's phenomenal. So, with that, guys, it's kind of the episode, tonight, episode 11 of Nerd Out Sanctuary. But, before I go, I like to give, this sort of message at the end of every one of my Nerd Out Sanctuary main episodes. And it's that it's okay to not be okay, especially at times like this, at national crisis. If you're listening, excuse me, somewhere else other than the U.S., but yeah, America is in a state of emergency right now. So yeah, there's a lot of shit going around, a la the coronavirus or COVID-19, but, you know, it's gonna be okay, guys. You know, just keep your head up high, you know, stay inside, don't interact with anyone within 6 feet, and wash your hands. But, other than that, just, you know, today is just today, and doesn't mean that tomorrow's gonna be the same as today. You know, just because today really fucking sucks doesn't mean tomorrow is going to really suck. So, you know, take, you know, the bad things that happen to you and turn them into good things, turn them into positive things. Like, take this state of emergency, you know, we're basically told to quarantine ourselves. You know, that really sucks. I can't really see my mom, you know, because she has high blood pressure. She takes high blood pressure medication. She has an autoimmune disease. And, you know, I can't really see her because I don't want to expose her to anything. You know, I could be a carrier or whatever. You know, I can't see her. And that's really, really fucking sucks. You know, I also have to just worry about my mom getting in because, you know, she has a higher risk of, you know, of just have it be bad. And that's, it's scary. It scares me. And I have to, you know, think about that, and it sucks. You know, it sucks to see, you know, my sister dealing with what she's thinking about. She doesn't want to bring home to her 4-month-old baby, and that's really scary. So yeah, shit's really scary. But, you know, I also can, you know, quarantine myself and you know, have a lot of time to myself. You know, I'm not making money, but I'm also have a lot of free time. You know, I'm trying to make the positive, take the good from the with the bad here. And this message has gotten really convoluted, just like the times are right now. And just try to be okay, guys, you know, and it's okay not to be okay. You know, just remember that tomorrow's a new day, and you're gonna get through today. So with that, guys, that's pretty much it. I don't really have anything else. So, yeah. I'm glad you're watching. whoever's watching. I'm glad you're watching or listening, but yeah, keep doing that. I appreciate all you guys. I appreciate all of you. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, I'm Michael. Still haven't really figured out a good way to end these, so I'm just going to keep doing this random bullshit at the end of these podcasts. So, yeah. Hope you enjoyed this one. Look out for more. I'm definitely going to be putting more of these out because I have so much time on my hands, but again, I can only put these out when I'm watching something. You know, I want to watch some stuff, then I have to put write my notes on it, and then I'll get back to you. I'm pretty sure they're releasing new releases online. I just saw on the PlayStation Store that they have actual video premieres, films that were in theaters. They're on the PlayStation Store for $20 to rent. So I might do that, but I mean $20 is a lot to just watch a movie. So yeah. And, yeah, so we'll see about that. I also, you know, I might even talk about how this might actually affect theaters, but I mean, I'm probably not going to do that, but it's kind of scary. Scary times, guys. So try to be okay through this, and, I'll see you guys on the next episode of, Nerd Out Sanctuary. So, yeah. Bye!